Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, Christmas had kicked off in earnest and you might be looking for something to stick in a stocking for the sports lover in your life, but not know where to start. Fear not, because luckily we have, as usual, Malachy Clarkin, sports journalist with the Irish Times, to hold your hand with his recommendations for the best sports books of the year 2021. Malachy, welcome back to the programme. Let's jump straight in. In fact, let's kick it off here. Do you see what I did there? Some of the best sports books this year are rugby books. Really? Is that unusual? It kind of sounds unusual to me.
It is extremely unusual, or at least that has been my experience over the last while. Not to say that all rugby books that went before were terrible, but they're particularly very, very good this year. There's three in particular that stand out as sort of a mile above all the rest.
Okay, let's hear what they are.
Okay, well, the first one is probably the best book of the year, in my very, very humble opinion, is Willie Anderson's book. Willie Anderson played for Ireland, was a rugby player for Ireland back in the 80s. And he basically has waited till now to write his book. His book is called Crossing the Line. Willie lived about four different lives as a rugby player. He was a Northern Protestant on the Irish rugby team in the 80s during the Troubles. Famously, like before the 1987 World Cup, two Irish players were injured in a bomb attack on the way to training for that World Cup. Like, they were teammates of his. Beyond that, he had a really interesting escapade when in around 1980, when he was a young guy. And this is where the book starts off, with this trip to Argentina. He was only about 22. And as part of a night out, as rugby players do, he got into some, I guess you'd call it, hijinks, where he basically went and stole an Argentinian flag down from a flagpole, thinking he'd bring it home and it'd be great crack and all this sort of stuff. Sadly, the Argentinian flag belonged to a local diplomat, and Willie ended up in jail and then ended up under sort of house arrest in Argentina for 3 months. And this is the time of the Argentinian junta in the late 70s, early 80s. So, like, he was threatened with sort of 5 years in an Argentinian jail. And it's an extraordinary story. But the book sort of starts with it and has great contemporaneous letters that he wrote to his then girlfriend, now wife, at the time, about what he was going through and all that sort of stuff. And look, all the way through it, it's told, Brendan Fanning of the Sunday Independent wrote it with him. He gets his voice really well in it. He doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, he doesn't take the game too seriously. He learns a lot. You know, his life is all about learning. His life, you know, he has a drink problem that he overcomes. He has a tragedy that he overcomes. But the book is great crack. It's great fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And look, I knew nothing really about Willie Anderson before I read it.
Right, and the bits you did know, it's all been filled in now with anecdotal stuff and the full facts too. So it sounds like Brendan really got in under it and got the tone and the voice right. And then, you know, Willie has a story to tell, and by God, they both told it together. Yeah. Okay, Crossing the Line by Willie Anderson and Brendan Fanning, Reach Sport, just under €20. Now, what's the other one? You mean Fight or Flight, is it?
Fight or Flight is Keith Earls' book. And, like, you know, this is, I counted it up, I think this is the 14th book from the 2009 Grand Slam.
Have you read them all?
I have, for my sins.
Really?
Read
at it's like Rashomon, the movie. You know, you get the same story from 14 different angles, do you?
More or less, except, you know, Keith Earls, he was very young in that squad and actually sort of washes his hands of it, says it does. He didn't really feel part of that triumph. It wasn't his triumph to celebrate, you know. It belonged to a lot of older lads than him. So this is a much bit, like, this is the best of all of those 14 books. Actually, Paul O'Connell's was very good, which was about 6 years ago. But this is very, very good. Like, Keith Earls comes from Moy Ross in Limerick. He is from outside, you know, what we would take to be, what we would think rugby is in this country. Like, to be fair, he did go to a rugby school, but he actually got expelled from it and went to another school and then went back to it to play. He rang them up and said, can I come back and play rugby, for his last 2 years. But, like, he wasn't into school. He left school barely able to read and write, by his own admission. His literacy wouldn't be great. He reckons he probably had dyslexia somewhere along the way, but wasn't interested enough to really test it and find out about it. This is a really interesting book. Over the years, he has had big injury problems, like has been playing in matches for Ireland where he could barely catch his breath. But beyond that, outside the game, he has had bipolar. He's been diagnosed bipolar. This book is really, it's a really interesting writing achievement because it's written in very plain, basic language, and that's deliberate by him and Tommy Conlon, his ghostwriter. Keith basically says, look, when I was growing up, if I was a 16-year-old in Moyross, there's no way I would have read anybody's rugby book.
Right.
But I want 16-year-olds in
Moyross. All right, I get you. Like, it sounds like you're saying that, like, of all the books, like, I mean, you know, you're finished playing rugby or you're finished doing what you do, you know, publisher comes along and says, you might as well write a book. Yes. The difference with this to you seems to be he has a story to tell, and he's a story to tell for a reason, and he's a story to tell in a certain way, and he does it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
And like that story is a really interesting story, you know, coming from one of the most deprived areas in in Ireland. And, you know, he finds himself, you know, at banquets after rugby games in the Shelburne, feeling completely out of place and like feeling almost condescended, even though he might have been man of the match for Ireland that day. You know? So, yeah.
Well, it's called Fight or Flight by Keith Earls and Tommy Conlon. It's reached sport just under €20 as well. We're talking to Malachy Clerkin from The Times about sports books for Christmas. So where are you going next?
Next, I may as well finish up with the rugby books. The last one that's really worth people's time is called This Is Your Everest, and it's by Tom English and Peter Burns. It is the story of the 1997 Lions Tour. People will know the Lions Tour to South Africa in 1997 because, you know, it was a big deal. It was the first big sort of Sky Sports extravaganza of a Lions Tour. But it sort of had a second life in the years that followed because there was a camera crew followed them around and made this documentary called Living with Lions, which is one of the best sports documentaries that there has ever been, really. Mm. And this is the story of that Lions team, that South Africa team, and also those documentary makers. Because the guys who made the documentary, like, they put more on the line than the players who were actually playing the rugby, because they remortgaged their houses to make this film, even though they had no guarantee. Like, they went there and BBC and ITV both said, no, we're not going to buy that off yet. So, like, they put themselves in huge financial peril to make this documentary, and it paid off in the end. And so that's part of the book. The other part of the book is this South African team. They were world champions at the time. It was 2 years after the famous world title that they won, where you had the picture of Nelson Mandela handing over the cup to Francois Pienaar and apparently, you know, supposedly bringing South Africa together. And like that couldn't have been further from the truth, as it turned out. By 1997, they had been through three or four huge racial incidences and all that sort of stuff, and then they lost to the Lions. And so this book ties it all together. There's a huge amount of interviews in it. They do it in a sort of an oral history, you know, just like reams of quotes from the people involved, but also really well written, the bits in between, and it's fantastic.
Okay, three rugby books, Crossing the Line, Fight or Flight, and that one there is called This Is Your Everest by Tom English and Peter Burns. It's on Polaris at just under €25. So let's go to Barca. We're getting to football now, soccer.
I was thinking as I was going through this list this morning, this is about the only one I'd say, Dave, that you would read.
It's not like I'm massively into necessarily sports books. Well, I mean, I did read the tennis one by your man some years back who hated playing tennis. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I I've been unfair to you. What I meant was this is the only one I would recommend you to read.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. Well, in a week when Barcelona are just, what the hell is going on? Anyway, go on.
Well, you might ask. If you want to know what the hell has happened to Barcelona, read this book.
Right, and West Ham will beat them in the next round. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Exactly. Jesus, you'd be putting your money on West Ham.
Yeah, you would.
This is the story. It's basically the story of the rise and fall of Barcelona. Now, when Simon Cooper sat down to write it, I would say he sat down to write a story about the rise of Barcelona. And he got lucky in that the fall happened as he was writing.
He was handed the drama on a plate, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you know, the ending of the book is how they came to allow Messi to leave for nothing, all that sort of stuff. But it's essentially it's the story of three people, really. The first third of the book is the story of Cruyff, Cruyff coming from Amsterdam, Cruyff growing up in Amsterdam, coming to Barcelona, reshaping the club in his image, building La Masia, all that sort of stuff, bringing through Xavi and Iniesta, picking out this really slow, ponderous, skinny midfielder from the under-18s B team and saying, that lad, that guy has something about him, and it being Pep Guardiola. Yeah. The next part of it is about Guardiola, what Guardiola did, you know, with the team, with the club, up until, you know, the perfect team of the sort of 2009 to 2011. Yeah. And then the last section of the book is Messi, really, and what and how
he leaves, and that's it.
Yeah, and like Messi, you know, for one of the world's most famous sports people, like, what do we really know about Messi, you know? Mm. Like what sort of person is he? What sort of character is he? What sort of power does he wield? He wields enormous power in this book. And, you know, part of the downfall of Barcelona is the power that Messi had.
But also, is it about, like, getting to a place, you really try hard, and they were brilliant at it, and they became the best thing 10 years ago, etc. And once you're in that place, is it about just making a fool of yourself because you couldn't hold on to it?
Yeah, and not knowing how to, like everybody studied Barcelona and saw what they were doing, and then they brought through the younger group. Barcelona didn't bring through the younger group. Like, they sat on Xavi, Iniesta, Piqué. Sure, Piqué is still playing. Mm-hmm. You know, Messi, all those years, and didn't bring through the next people underneath them. This is my favourite soccer book in a few years now. It is really...
Okay, it's called Barca. It's by Simon Cooper, and it's on short books, just under 18 quid. So what's Punters by Aaron Rogan?
Yeah, Punters is a business book more than a sports book.
Yeah.
It's the story of the rise of Paddy Power. And so it is a business book. There's no getting away from that. Mm. But it's a business book based on sport. Like, the rise of Paddy Power is based on sports betting. I don't think people have a real sense of how huge Paddy Power are in the world. Like, they're now the world's biggest gambling company, or their parent, Flutter Entertainment, right, which was the company they created to oversee their sort of quest for world domination, is the biggest gambling company in the world. Paddy Power and Flutter are the biggest company on the Irish Stock Exchange. And like, they basically started life in around sort of 1988. Sort of three local small-time Irish bookies basically got together to stave off. There was going to be an invasion from Ladbrokes and Victor Chandler, the big British bookmakers, were coming over here. And so, like, half of this book is like the Paddy Power story that people would be kind of aware of, you know, the kind of plucky Irish cheeky chappy business kind of fighting off the invaders and doing well for itself. But then you get into the sort of the late 2000s and since then, where online gambling has sort of taken over the world, and Paddy Power has been the, you know, the leaders in that. And like, some of it is quite terrifying, really, for those of us who like a 20 quid bet here and there.
Yeah.
The level of knowledge that Paddy Power, and I presume all betting companies, all the huge Bet365, all these people have of their customers. Like, there's a sort of a dystopian line early on where they say that within your first, if you open a Paddy Power account today, within your first 15 bets or your first, I think, 500 euro bet, they know how much they're going to make from you over the course of your betting life with them. And like, that's kind of dystopian, you know. Kind of,
Who cares about Zuckerberg? Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, it is the transformation of this betting company to what is it? You know, essentially, like all these big tech companies, the big data harvesting company.
Yeah.
And you know, all of this would be a great story. It's, you know, a story of this great Irish business growing and growing and growing. Except for, you know, the cloud that obviously hangs over it is that, you know, problem gambling, addiction, all of this is baked into the cake. You know, they have a line somewhere along the way where everybody, you know, both on the gambling side of the house and on the addiction counselling side of the house, more or less agrees that only 1% of gamblers, give or take, maybe up as far as 2%, but like a tiny, very, very small percentage of gamblers will ever have a problem with gambling.
Really?
And you kind of go, yeah, only once.
So you're telling me like that 98% is just a day out, a bit of a flutter, you lose 15. I went to the races once in my life. No, twice actually in my life. I'm sorry, it's just not for me. I probably bet about 15 euro or thereabouts. Yeah. Obviously, I lost. I had a clue what I was doing, you know. Yeah. If any horse had any name like a band, I'd say, or an album, right, I'll go for that. Didn't work. Anyway, point is that, are you telling me only 1 or 2% have a problem gambling?
This is the scary thing. That it's only 1 or 2% of people.
Are you a flutter person? Like, would you like to do your 20 quid here and there and whatever?
Oh yeah, I am in that 98%. But this is the terrifying thing, Dave. It's only 1 or 2% of people, but they account for up to 25% of profit.
Ah, right. I see. Okay, that just shows you the effect that 1 or 2% have. My exactly. God.
And so that's the thing, and like that is the You know, that's the cloud that hang over Paddy Power and all of these huge gambling companies, that the sort of human wreckage that's left in their wake of their profits. So, look, I find this book fascinating as somebody who does like a bet here and there, who bets for fun, all that sort of stuff. It really opens your eyes to what these businesses are.
Okay, well, look, we've got three rugbies. We've got Barca and we've got this one here, which is called what again? It's called Punters by Aaron Rogan, HarperCollins, Ireland, just under 16 euro. Okay, what about the rest, Malachy?
Mickey Hart has his third book out of his career, and this is Mickey Hart managed Tyrone for
manager,
18 years, but people also know him for, you know, the tragedy of his daughter being murdered in Mauritius, of course, that's where she was. And, this book is deep. It's called Devotion. He wrote it with Brendan Coffey, a brilliant journalist from Kildare. And it's about his faith. It's about, you know, you don't often see sports people writing seriously about their faith and what it does for them. And not, you know, not preachy, but in like, this is what it does for me. And about his grief about getting over Michaela, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Not an easy read, but like very, very good. Really,
that's Devotion by Mickey Hart and Brendan Coffey. Okay, just a couple more quick mentions of anything at all.
Yeah. Okay, quick mentions. There's a great book that I've never read anything like it before. It's called Myler, A Family Memoir. It's by John and David Myler. David Myler played for Ireland, I think it was 26 times, played for Hull and Sunderland, played in the Premier League. His dad, John, managed Cork and managed Kerry and managed Wexford, like has managed.
Is that the one, did Fintan O'Toole have a hand in this?
Yes.
Yeah,
Fintan Fintan O'Toole from the 42, not Fintan
O'Toole. Yeah, from the 42, exactly. Yeah, in fact, we spoke to him on the programme once, I think. Yeah,
I'm not sure. Like this sort of weaves their two stories together, and tells it is a family memoir. Really, like I haven't seen that done before, and like you know, it's very rare you come across the things that you haven't seen done before in sports books. So this is very good. The best memoir I'd say of the year belongs to Trish Carney. It's called Above Water by Trish Carney. She is one of the abuse victims of George Gibney, the swimming coach from the 1980s. And this is a story of triumph. Like some of it is fairly harrowing. She undergoes real terrible abuse at the hands of this really famous Irish sports coach.
Yeah.
And he gets away with it.
Yeah.
But this is her life. She came through, came out the other side. She's found love and happiness and contentment and peace in her later life.
Okay, well, Malachy, I think we probably will have to have it there. Did you get out at all this year? Were you just reading sports books all year?
Dave, nobody got out this
year. Yeah, right. Oh, I forgot. I completely forgot. Sorry, right. On that note, have a very happy Christmas, Malachy, and good man yourself. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed, Malachy Clerk, and it is as in a sports journalist with the Irish Times. See you, Malachy. Good luck.
All right, champ. Be good.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.